So Buddha, you know, to just summarize the teachings of Mahayana, you know, if Buddha said, oh, life is empty, and we have no clue, and we have no way to actually understand that statement. But then Buddha gave through, you know, because of his skills and wisdom and compassion, that Buddha says, life is like a dream. And at least we can reflect on, what's a dream? Dream appears to be real, yet it's unreal. We can relate. So he speaks in the language, he speaks in our language, you know, in language of sentient beings in that way. So we relate what actually, how we can, you know, understand, how we can relate to the teaching. So this is how much. Then Tantra. So Vajrasattva practice works exactly like that, but much faster, much swifter. Vajrasattva practice. So then we visualize Vajrasattva, you know, we in front ourselves as Vajrasattva, and then we visualize Vajrasattva above us in union, and then the nectar falling down through our central chakra, purifying our crown chakra, our throat chakra, our heart chakra, and our navel chakra, like that. And then and having different, you know, spokes of our chakras, and filling entire chakras with the nectar, like that. And then our body is completely, you know, filled with wisdom nectar. And then through, you know, through our lower exit, then all impurities, they go down like that. And then after a while, having all those impurities left, then we visualize that Vajrasattva is smiling and talking to us and saying, noble son, all your negativities or all your karma has been purified. And you say, now, how much do you believe in that statement? It's your, so if I believe that I am pure, I'm not responsible for any of my, because I'm already released from all those karmic prints or karmic imprints. This is how it works. So this, all the training of mind, you know, it goes like that.
Wait, if you believe, wait, say that again.
How much you believe?
How much faith?
Devotion? or your.
Your confidence
in believing that actually I have purified my karma.
It's
my body,
your own
karma.
Mind,
yeah.
Believing in itself.
Yeah.
Is that, because I'm thinking, like, how much do you believe? So a certain, like, for like a certain point, it's more and more kind of somewhat blind, like you're saying, I believe that I'm pure, but maybe if you don't have the right view, you don't see, you don't know enough, so you're saying it, but even though you say you believe it, it's kind of blind. But so you're saying how pure you are, so the more you kind of increase your faith, but at a certain point you have to increase your view.
Mm-hmm.
To
yes.
And that's kind of the point. Mm-hmm. Is ultimately you have to change your view. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of know you're pure, and that's what purifies.
Yeah.
It
view is how you see it first, you know, when you actually. That's why when you receive direct teachings, it helps a lot, because you already are open to that view. You're already seen that from that. So when you actually put it into practice, then it becomes swifter if you have that, if you believe in that view, see? But if you don't understand the view, then you're trying to actually engage, you have already lost the wisdom, why you are doing that. It will help you, of course, to break in a certain later, you know, that's why you accumulate a lot of Vajrasattva mantra, and through that power, then one day you come to that view of actually seeing that you have already purified your body, speech and mind karma. But it will help a lot first if you actually understand why you are doing Vajrasattva practice. Is actually to understand, to bring that confidence in you, that you are that stainless Vajrasattva. See, if you understood that, then your process goes much faster. So that's why tantra is the skill, because it's all based on view. So Dzogchenpo, that's why Dzogchenpo view is highest. That's why it helps, not it helps. But if you don't believe, again, then the view does not work. See,
So this domro, the dead body of the broken vow.
Domro.
It's a, like a, how do you say it again?
Dom. Yeah, it's dom. Yeah, dom.
Domro.
Ro.
From the mind point, it's like a aspect of the mind that isn't illuminated, perhaps.
Domro, I already gave you the example that behind your mind, you already bury those actions. See? Right. You already bury, but sooner or later, that will torment you.
But it's an aspect of the mind.
Yeah, it's an aspect of the mind, but that you haven't purified.
Right.
It's latent, but it's dormant, but it is kind of sooner or later, where the circumstance, the conditions come together, it's going to sprout. So therefore, before that happens, you have to always purify. So
and
then,
and that confidence that you're actually also purifying even those dead bodies you don't even know that are there.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That aspect,
yes.
That kind of confidence in the vastness.
Yes.
Of that.
It's incredible. It's so, you know, so vast, we cannot understand how many actions we have done, you know.
Yeah.
How many?
Really?
We can't even remember what we did yesterday afternoon, you know.
We ate for
dinner.
But,
you know, we have accumulated like, you know, like oceans or treasuries of bad actions. But once you start to do this confession prayers, you know, like it's really, you become a fine person naturally, and because you already, you know, you already know the positive aspect of why we actually have to have a vow, and that clearly gives you the view that why or what bad actions will actually do. See, we don't actually believe in bad actions will bring suffering. We are losing our faith. We are losing our view that bad actions will actually bring suffering. See, because we don't. That's why Buddha in Dhammapada said that we should not overlook tiniest of bad actions, because it's like the spark that will burn the whole stack. So like that.
That's in Dhammapada.
Dhammapada, yeah. And same like that, we overlook tiny actions, virtue, and then we think, oh, this is not really important. And he says, it's like the drop of water that becomes an ocean. Mm-hmm. See? So, like that. And whole training of Buddha's path is to have cultivate the right view, see? When we have lost that, we have already lost that right view. We have already lost. And wrong. All other practices are founded on right view. So that's why right view, first we have to have the right view. So it's very, very important.
But again, it comes back to the mind, because what I might consider to be a bad action, someone else may not.
No, but
right?
That one, of course, but there is one plane, there's one reality to what is right and wrong.
Mm.
You know, because of our karma, collective karma, we believe what's right and wrong. You know, I believe what's right and wrong may not be true to this general karma, but you know, and in there's a phenomenal reality among all of us, because you know, we believe in one particle, we say white is white, what we believe as white, all of us, see, and your kind of white may be different from what I see as white,
mm-hmm.
but still we believe. So like that, there's a certain level that defines what's right and what's wrong, opposed to an insane person, you know. So there's a general belief, so that we have to believe. And only when we have perfected, when we have actually understood or mastered that reality, then we come to that understanding of the ultimate. So first we have to understand good and bad. Once we understand good and bad, then we understand the purity of which is beyond good and bad.
Hmm.